short straw. My brothers went and I didn't eat the gum.
Good evening. Welcome to the Manasquan School District Board of Education Committee of the Whole meeting of April 19th, 2016. Called order. Opening statement pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10. Notice of this meeting has been provided by publication in Asbury Park Press, the Coast Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and at the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance. Roll call, please, Sandy.
Mrs. Bassone.
Yes.
Mr. Burns. Mr. Catani.
Here.
Mrs. De Palma.
Here.
Mr. Fiore.
Here.
Mr. Gardner. Mrs. Garrett Muley. Mr. Lofredo. Mr. Pellegrino.
Here.
Mr. Serino.
Here.
Mr. Vitale. Mr. Warren.
Here.
Sean Nolan. Julia Hohenstein. Matthew Del Garcio. Megan Giaforti. We have a quorum.
Thank you. Our mission statement: Manasquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and a rich tradition through partnership with our community. Our statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment, and in many cases by a unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next committee of the whole meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After the committee of the whole approves the matter, it is placed on the agenda for action at a public meeting. In rare instances, matters are presented to the Board of Education for discussion at the same meeting that final action may be taken. Number six, this is a committee of the whole meeting, so these are discussion items. Next week, we'll be asking for a recommendation for acceptance and approval of the minutes. We will have a student board representative report. That brings us to number eight, presentations. And I'll turn it over to Dr. Kazian.
If we can move out to the table, Mr. President, so we can give out the plaque. Thank you for that answer.
Just you.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, did I pull that cord?
Tonight we're going to recognize our state champions in bowling. And I take great pride in focusing on their accomplishments this evening. And I'd like to say that video clip that you saw Jesse took of me at the lanes. And as I thought, you would laugh at that. I'd like to say that, but I can't. But I'm sure if we had that video taken, I saw so many times when I go to watch the girls bowl, things like that happen. So I want to thank you for all the enjoyment that you gave us this year. As we stand up here, Jesse, and as we call the names out, could you move the slide along so we can see the girls on? And Coach, could you come up while we hand out the plaques as well? Ron? There's nobody who isn't more dedicated to our sports program than Ron Fornegay. And every time I go to a game, Ron's there. I know you're probably saying in your mind, well, he's the athletic director. I know that. But he's at everything. And I've often seen him at the girls' games watching them bowl, or matches, I guess they call them. So if you would tonight, as we hand out the plaques, that would be great. These particular plaques have a picture of the championship team, and they read, to the individual people, Manasquan Girls Bowling 2015-16, A Central Division Champions, Group 1 State Champs, and they were donated by the classes of 1942 and 1955. Well, I think it's just awesome. To use a word seldom used. So, congratulations to the girls. And first, would like to present the plaque to Coach Tom Glenn. Tom, and if you say a few words.
I would like to start off, Dr. Cajun did come for a few of our practices, and he's actually not a bad bowler.
Did you do that?
This was actually a pretty special team. 2 years ago, two of my starters, Megan and Ella, were sophomores, and we were also Group 1 state champions that year as well. So it was kind of cool to be able to repeat it our senior year, their senior year. Last year, we got all the way to the state finals, too, and we finished second. And, you know, it was disappointing, but I kind of knew, like, from my future seniors that, you know, we wanted to get back. I did lose a few seniors going into the season, and it was a little bit of a surprise to be as good as we were. In fact, they were so good, this was probably the best team in Manasquan history. They broke the team record for high average. We averaged over 820 per game. We broke a team match record. We shot a 27, I don't know the number off it, but it was like 2769, I want to say, but it's on my website. If anybody wants to check it out, they can go check out the bowling page. All the school records are there. They broke that record. We finished fourth at the Brick tournament, which was the best ever. My team finished with a top 10 ranking. We finished sixth in the state as picked by the Star Ledger. So this will go down as possibly the best team in Manasquan history. Unless, of course, my team next year, my juniors, who are going to be still hungry for another championship, you know, they got big shoes to fill, but I'm sure they're going to work hard to get back next year. So it was very exciting. It was just a pleasure coaching these girls. To my senior parents.
Yeah, that's what I'm
talking. You're awesome. Thank you so much for these lovely ladies.
Practices, and it's just the way he treats our athletes, to me, is the way we should treat our athletes. And we're so fortunate in this district to have coaches who look at our athletes as people and deal with them accordingly. He's kind, he's considerate, and he's caring, and he gets the most out of the girls. And that's all he can ask for. Not wins or losses, but we get those, but having a coach who focuses on students like that.
Thank you.
And with that, we have our first senior, Megan Powder. Megan. Brittany Boucher.
Brittany. She is sick.
Can you take her?
Yeah, I'll take it, yeah. Where should we stand? Should we stand over there?
Stand
over there
right here. Good. Thank you. Haley Craker. Haley.
Thank you.
Rachel Gray. Ella Lovey. Smith. Colleen Hessinger. Sarah Devereaux.
Oh my God, they look great.
Christina Doros. Between Pete Weber and Parker Bond III at 227. So that was the average that these pro bowlers had. As we look, we can congratulate Tyler Wolf on first team All-State Boys Bowling with the highest state average of 236.
Yeah, real quick, I was fortunate enough to be chosen as the boys' bowling coach this year, and in the hallway I saw Tyler. And he would ask me every day, are you the bowling coach, are you the bowling guy? And I'm like, I don't know yet, but what do you average? And he said 232, and I was like, no way. Parker Bone III, I used to bowl with back in the 80s. Mark Roth, another Hall of Famer I bowled with. Kyle Wolf is the best bowler I've ever seen, by far. To his dedication, his dad's his coach. I would love to take credit as the coach. I was really a fan, and just stood by and watched. Tyler also bowled a perfect game this year at Carolier Lanes in one of the tournaments where he took high game and high series, and he led us to a championship for the team in the Long Branch tournament. So, congratulations, Tyler. Congratulations, Tyler's family.
Before we move to the next presentation, if we could just cut the cake so the girls and Tyler and everybody can have some cake before we leave. And if you want to stay for the rest of the board meeting, feel free. But I would suggest you go home and be home. Forward with our meeting this evening.
Some people are in a newspaper. Restroom. Oh, we'll
I would now like to recognize and thank the Manasquan Elementary School Education Foundation for everything that you do for our students. And with that, I'm going to turn this portion of the meeting over to Mr. Tolkien.
Thank you, Dr.
partially.
We are here for the grant award presentations from the Manasquan Elementary School Education Foundation, and we'd like to recognize the board of directors of the foundation: Elizabeth Bovitz, Lauren Lake, Valerie Minton, Jenny Spalt, Chrissy Rice, Michael Mangan, Peg Devane, Tim O'Grady, Carrie Ann Kaplan, and Mrs. Mary Van Wickle. Obviously, we're very appreciative for everything they've done. They're a relatively newer group, but they've accomplished a tremendous amount in a very short period of time, three years, I would think.
Two years, right.
Oh, I thought it was three. But at this time, we would like everyone to know the Manasquan Elementary School Education Foundation received and reviewed several innovative and well-thought-out grant applications. And we're pleased to announce the teacher recipients of the 2016 grants at this time. Lisa Marshall, student playwriting to performances, $3,625. Lauren Buss, Jamie McMullen, Donna Mead, Michelle Sayer, engineering is elementary science kits, $2,300. Kristen Walsh and Brianna Snell, mobile technology classrooms, $5,000. Mark Levy, engineering and design lab, $4,409.64. And Real Offer, keyboard instruction and keyboard lab, $4,778.99. At this time, we'll ask if the Education Foundation has anything that they'd like to say.
Well, we have this really nice large check.
We love the large check. If we could ask the teachers that are here to come up and get their picture with a very large check, that'd be great. And Mr. Kirk,
I'm going to go behind you.
Presentation is a student, the one-to-one student technology program update in digital learning, and that'll be Mr. Place and Ms. Kokoda.
So I'm pleased to be here not only as a photographer this evening, but also to give the board an update where we, how we've progressed with our one-to-one initiative, which is obviously something that's been very important to us and very much at the forefront of what we've been doing here in the district, which is you know, what I want to just kind of briefly talk about and give you a little perspective of what we've kind of seen this year and where we're going and some of the things that have been happening in the district. When we look at the goals of the program that we set out when we first started this 3 years ago, we really wanted to increase the learning opportunities that students have. We wanted to increase their engagement and their access to classroom materials. We, of course, wanted to make them college and career ready, no matter what they do after they leave us in high school, and also provide some kind of equity in terms of a uniform device and a platform that all students could use, you know, in the same way, without any kind of disparities or advantages or disadvantages. Okay, and I'm happy to say that in general, I think we've very much been on our way to achieving most of these goals. And we always want to make that better, obviously, but I think we've put ourselves in a very good position. And with the board's help and with Dr. Cajun's support, we've really been able to do that well. Putting the equipment and the other pieces in place and kind of learning from what we've been doing over the past couple of years, we now want to try to focus on, I'll go back to this kind of the history. This just gives you a perspective of, you know, the number of devices that we've supported and we've added, you know, in the past couple of years, and also when we look to what we're going to be doing next year. So this alone, you know, I think tells a pretty big story about what we've really been able to do here both, you know, through the budget process and with the board's support, but also, you know, with our technology staff and going forward. And, you know, again, we hope to continue that. You know, I always want to see those numbers to go up to really do what we want to do. Thinking about now that we have those numbers and those pieces of equipment in place, we really want to try to think about how we're going to transform learning, or how we can start to transform learning to really accomplish all those goals, and especially the ones about making students college and career ready and giving them the education that they need, you know, in today's society. One approach to this, or one model, I should say, is what we refer to as the SAMR model. And if you look on the screen, what that stands for, obviously the SAMR, talks about the different levels of how technology could be infused in a classroom. If you look at the bottom two, which what we call enhancement, we have substitution, which means the technology acts as a direct tool to substitute with no functional change. So I like to think of that as the idea that, well, if I was taking class, or excuse me, if I was taking notes in a class before in a notebook, and now I'm typing those notes onto a device, that's probably what I would call a substitution, right? The technology is a tool, but it's not really changing, you know, there's no functional change in what's really happening. As you kind of go up this ladder to think about things, augmentation has some kind of functional improvement. Modification really redesigns what the student's being able to do or what the student's being asked to do on the task. And then at the highest level, that redefinition, I like how they say, you know, allows them to create new tasks that were previously inconceivable. Obviously, we try or we strive to get as high on that scale as we can at different times. That's not to say that everything every day should be at that highest level or needs to be at that highest level, but rather that's what we look for, at least how we evaluate how we're using the technology educationally in the classroom. And one of the things that has been critical, I think, to implementing this year is the position that we added of a technology integration coach. And Lisa's been good enough to be here with us tonight, and she's gonna actually show you just briefly a couple of the things that teachers have been involved in and some of the stuff she's been working with this year in terms of getting to these different levels on this model. So, Lisa, if you like.
Yeah. Okay, so although obviously only in the first full year of the high school having the tablets, you know, I would definitely say that a lot of our teachers are taking strides to reach that goal of transformation of their classrooms. And one of the ways that teachers are able to do this is by utilizing our Canvas learning management system. So I just want to show you a couple of things through Canvas, as you'll see that ways that our teachers are using it and really starting to change their classrooms. So the first great feature of Canvas is the is a quiz portion. And what you'll see here is it's now allowing quizzes to come away from just pencil and paper and really become interactive. So aside from just multiple choice questions or questions that you can fill in answers or select from drop down menus, teachers can now really start to put videos on tests and quizzes, or have links to outside sources that students can then analyze and respond to. So it is, you know, a great way of not only pulling students in a little bit more, but also preparing them for online testing and the PARC test. So these are just different ways that the quizzes could be set up. And then again, students can get immediate feedback, know how they did, and be able to learn from that. Another great feature of Canvas is the calendar. As a student, all of my courses are listed, and any assignment, no matter what course is in, will appear on one unified calendar. So this can really help with organization responsibility, where if I have an assignment due in one class, a quiz in the next class, all of that will show up on the same calendar. Your coaches can even create courses, and so a practice can show up. So students can really start to develop this unified calendar. And just one last feature that I think is really very useful is the ability for students to really interact with teachers not just in the classroom. And one of those ways is through a chat feature through Canvas, where if I were a teacher and I would say, you know, you have a project due tomorrow, I'll be available from 6 to 7 o'clock tonight on Canvas to if you have any questions. And students, this was just me kind of playing around a little bit as a student and a teacher, but this is just a group site where all students can access and all students can view, and they could shoot off questions to your teacher and receive, again, immediate feedback. So if they're working on something, a big project that's due, or if there's a big test the next day, this is really a way for teachers to be there, you know, 24/7 for their students.
And obviously, just to add real quick to something like chat, right, and social media and that kind of aspect of it, this, to also emphasize, this is in a secure portal, right, administered by the district. So some policy considerations and any kind of questionable considerations, things like that, can really be taken out of it in an official way like this. We're not trying to say we cracked the technology of chat. We're just trying to say there's a
it's a controlled environment. So, and through Canvas is how our teachers are sharing different things with their students and having their students really start to reach that next level in the classroom. One of those ways, we've had a couple of teachers create programs or videos through a program called Office Mix. And this is really how teachers are starting to flip the classroom, where the really the lesson is for homework and the practice and the application is being done in the class. So just to show you a couple of quick examples, here's an example from Paul Battaglia's math class, which I don't know which one it is. I'm not a math person. But you can see here.
That means that when we are
he creates this video
inside,
and puts the link in OneNote, and his students have access to this whenever they need it. So they can rewatch a lesson, hear his explanations, see his drawings, and really be able to, if they are struggling, learn the lesson again. So here's an example again of his voice, his demonstrations throughout. We also have, is Mr. Glenn still here? We also have one from Mr. Glenn's class where he took a video, and the great thing about Office Mix is that you can also create quiz questions along the way to check for understanding. So he created this video, had his students watch it at home. And then students are prompted to answer a question, you know, through as they're watching the video. So again, really checking for their understanding as they are learning. And if they were to choose an answer, I guess I got it correct. Submit. Oh, incorrect. So they would come up, they would say, please try again. And, you know, it really allows students to know whether or not they're accessing, they're understanding the information. Mr. Glenn, do you have anything to add to that?
And the cool thing about the mix is on my end, I could check all my students on if they watched it or not. And it tells me how exactly to the second how long they spent on each slide. So if I have a student who kind of like, oh, I'm just going to click the video and put it all the way to the end, and then just like go click, 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 just get through it, I'll know that he was on for 1 minute or she was on for 1 minute. So I hold them accountable. I tell them, it's like, hey, you can't get it past me. Like, just watch it, and you'll actually learn something. And I use it as, like, before I teach anything, it's like, you watch this video, because it kind of gets them, all right, well, what are we going to be doing next in class? And it gets them ready for the next chapter. And the feedback from the students has been very positive. They're like these videos are great. But, like, because not only do I watch it before, I could watch it as many times as I want. So it's been very positive in my classroom.
Yeah. And I'll just add to that. This is, you know, as a former chemistry teacher, this is very exciting for me. I wish I had this, you know, a number of years ago when I was doing it. Not only for what Lisa mentioned about the flipping the classroom aspect, but think of the perspective of the student, right, who, just like Tom said, is able to rewind and kind of go back. But also this kind of assessment where you're getting that immediate feedback, right? When I was teaching this might have been on like a worksheet. where the student would take it home, they would circle the answers or do whatever they're supposed to do, and then they'd wait until the next day during fifth period to find out if they got it right or not. Right? This gives them that real-time feedback and allows them to kind of think, okay, now what did I do wrong? You know, or what did I do? And I think, Tom, some of them, like, even you can even like give a hint, you know, or something like that with it. There's, you know, there's a bunch of different ways you can approach that. So I think it's such a powerful tool. And I think those two examples, just like what Paul did and what Tom's doing, are great examples.
So those are things that our teachers are doing. However, we also have teachers really producing things and having their students produce things as well. Mr. Levy in his fourth grade class used a program called Sway. And this is a fourth grade student created this. And what Sway is really designed to do is to allow the students to focus on the content and create these great, very professional looking websites. Presentations. So if you'll notice, you know, it's slides from side to side, you know, insert pictures and different ways of students presenting information aside from just PowerPoint presentations or drawing a picture or, you know, making a poster. This is really allowing them to take those presentation skills to the next level.
This was fourth grade, Mr. Levy?
That's true. And our last one that I did just want to show here. Is from one of our foreign language classes.
Juan Benuti Amasco High School. La escuela es molto grande. La prima clase es science. Prof. Glenn es molto alto y pazzo. La segunda hora yo o inglese.
So this is Italian. And so instead of a teacher just having a student write out sentences, the students are now creating picture videos, recording their, including music, recording their voices over the music, syncing all of that together. So really creating these great demonstrations. And it allows our foreign language teachers to not have to use class time to assess student speaking, but be able to really watch these on a prep and focus on the teaching and the practice during their class time. So, you know, there really are a lot of things that our teachers are doing to take this technology to the next level and really begin to transform their classrooms. And just as, you know, something that you can see here, as you all use OneNote for the board agenda and minutes, we've created a OneNote notebook for our teachers, organized by school, by program, by grade level and subject area, that has all sorts of resources for our teachers to use. Different websites that they can use, different tricks and things throughout office programs, and just different ways that they can really utilize their technology in the classroom. So these are just a bunch of ways that we're really utilizing the devices this year.
I hope you can see, you know, how some of those things can kind of fall into that SAMR model. And these are just, you know, these are just a very small snapshot of a lot of what's going on. We tried to pick up some of the big things of that. I didn't want to say, since we invited Mr. Glenn, Mr. Levy, you want to add anything about your... not to put you on the spot.
Oh, that's all right. The presentation software, you know, the kids are excited about, I think, is one of the biggest attributes of this technology. It's a different way to do things, and they really enjoy creating and presenting it to the class. I think everything with Office 365 and the new technology we've had has been, been a big help for transforming the classroom.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, by no means would I stand here and tell you, oh, great, you know, we've done all this and everything's great and we're, you know, we're at this level. We always want to make it better, right? And like I said, we've kind of pulled out some of the good examples of different things that we have, but we want to kind of continue that. And as we look forward to next year, obviously, we'll be continuing the one-to-one program for 8th through 12th grade students. Like we talked about last time when I was here to talk about the Future Ready Grant, we're hoping or will be expanding that into the 6th and 7th grades with the cost of that, you know, being completely deferred, you know, by that grant to the board. The other thing you know, that we want to be able to do. You know, again, you're seeing in those examples some exemplars of what some, you know, some really motivated and, you know, and teachers who've really kind of grasped this technology. Like Dr. Cajun always reminds us, you know, the professional development is obviously key going forward. We've done professional development this year so far. Mrs. Kerensky has been here talking about the Teachers Teaching Teachers program. We're continuing that now with doing some of this PD during the spring that's being funded again by the grant, and also some paid PD in the summer that was going to be coming up that we'll be talking about. And the last bullet here I do think is significant is when Lisa showed you that example of the Canvas learning management system, we've been using that in the high school provisionally this year. Not all classes have been involved. You know, it's kind of been a get in, you know, wade into the water a little bit to kind of see how it works out. But we do intend to implement that fully for the middle school and high school next year as kind of a one-stop shop, you know, learning portal. The other thing with that is, aside from the educational benefits here, no matter where you go to college, if you go to college, no matter where you go to trade school, even into the, you know, any kind of education after high school, you're going to use a system like that. It might not be that one, but something like Blackboard, something like those, which I think is really important to, for our high school students to prepare. So with that, again, I appreciate your time, and I really can't thank the board enough. When I look back just in my time here, it's easy to get caught up in the day-to-day of, like, what we're doing today, you know, what we've just done or what we have to get ready for tomorrow. But when I look back just in my time here, where we were at that time and where we are today, I think is quite astounding. And obviously that wouldn't have been possible without everybody's here supporting.
Did you go to the SAMR? This ties right into our strategic plan that we have. Now, I think the things that we saw this evening illustrate how advanced our teachers are, and they're on the cutting edge. But like I see a lot of times in Manasquan, we're complacent about the great things that we do, and you don't get enough credit for all the things that you do. So I really think it's amazing, and I want to thank you for that. However, in line with our strategic plan, I believe that it behooves me as the instructional leader to present a transformational model to the board that the board can approve on an agenda that we can use as the umbrella over the district and move forward with our technology. Having said that, would this be the model that you'd like to use as we move forward transforming learning in the classroom? I assume it is, because you presented it this evening.
No, I hate this model. It's on me.
This is one...
You know, that has been embraced, I think, by a lot of school districts, not just in New Jersey, but nationally. Also, the State Department of Education has highlighted this model as one that, you know, as we develop technology plans and all for that going forward,
This model at the next board meeting, putting it on the agenda and having the board vote on that as the model to transform learning in the classroom that we will utilize here in the district. Any questions about that? I mean, you have over 1,200 one-to-one units in district. And as a board, it's because of you, and I want you to be proud of that. We're really revolutionizing what's going on in the classroom because of your excellent staff, the technology that we have, and how you guys are training them, and because the board had the vision to do this before I came here. And I thank you for that. So no questions about this?
No, I just want to add that seeing that the number, you know, 0 to 1,200, for somebody who's been here a while and a couple other people have been here for a while, this is something that we envisioned in a lot longer term. I mean, obviously the grant is tremendous, and acquiring the grant was fantastic. But this is, we're ahead of schedule as to where, as a board, as hopeful as we could have been when we started this program, we're ahead of schedule. And that's, you know, I want to thank you for that and everyone else that's now implementing and using it, and the teachers and the staff that are using it and embracing it. You know, the board, people ask all the time, why do you do this? You know, people ask all the time, why do you do this? It's because, you know, we want to see results, and we want to see things in the hands of the children that they can utilize, and that the staff, make the staff's life not necessarily easier, but better, and maybe easier, maybe more efficient. And it's things like this, you know, when you go from 0 units in the district to 1,200, that is, it's a true accomplishment, and everybody should be recognized for that.
And I'll just say, you know, from the perspective of a person who's worked in three other school districts before I came here, none of that would be possible without the great combination of a supportive Board of Education, a supportive administration, and the leadership of the superintendent, the faculty especially, who are second to none in this district. You know, I can't say that enough. And also, you know, some of the unsung heroes behind the scenes, like Mr. Froelich in the back, who gets to fix all these devices and things like that. So without him and Frank Scott and Jamie Union, this certainly would not be possible either.
Thank you.
Thank you. That brings us to agenda item number 9, which is the Committee of the Whole items for discussion. I will turn that over to Dr. Cajun.
Thank you very much. As you can see in our Committee of the Whole under Education, Curriculum, and Technology, we have our graduation information. This year, we have a rain date for graduation. Last year, the thunder and lightning put us into a different frame of mind, thinking that possibly if we know that kind of weather is coming, it'd be good for us to have an alternate plan. So everyone who's flying in to go to graduation, we know they might have to stay an extra day. So we put that information out. And at the high school, our graduation date is June 22nd, time 6 p.m. The rain date is June 23rd, time 6 p.m. Elementary school, June 21st, because it's indoors, we don't have to worry about inclement weather. And the time is 7 p.m. Are there any questions about that? And we did get that information out to the general public. The last time we were together, we had discussed the concept of a special education program review and proposal. Lynn and I worked on acquiring one from the Middlesex Regional Education Service Commission, and you do have that as one of the handouts on your OneNote. And as you can see from this, we're asking them to do the following things. A records review examination of a sample up to 30 pupil records, and you can see what types of things they'll be looking for. A document review, a placement and data review, director and supervisor interviews, as well as CST interviews. There'll also be a special class program review focusing on selected special class programs, observations, and then finally sitting with us and speaking to us about the possibility of developing programs that they could see we could benefit from within the district. And again, it's a review of the special education program. Not so much that things are being done incorrectly. It's just basically because we want to have a foundation, a starting point, as we move forward with developing more programs for the district. Are there any questions about that or the grand total of costs? And Lynn, if you would like to add anything, please feel free. I'm glad that's recorded.
Was everyone able to locate the under virtual handouts, the MRESC document? Mm-hmm.
Has that started yet, or when will that take place?
As soon as next week, when we get it approved, we'll move forward with it. And I just have to add that our supervisor, Mrs. Pollock, from my perception, does an excellent job with her day-to-day activities with the students, with the sending districts, as well as with the different cases that she has to oversee. She's directly involved with the Charles Study Team. What I've seen from them, they as well are on top of things. So I expect to move forward with this and get some excellent results from this particular review. Seeing no questions, I'd like to move on to the academy structure and room utilizations. The Services Academy and the criminal justice pieces of that is something that I would like to look at as we move forward. I spoke to our director of curriculum today and also our principal to sit down and take a look at the various models that are out there and start to develop a course structure and a focus for this particular academy. I've provided you with class tallies from both the elementary school and the high school. And from those, you can see the class sizes that are projected as well as the sections. You also have the report that gives you the actual classes for this year and their sizes. Are there any questions as you look at those? One of the focuses as we develop yet another academy is where would this be? And I would like to pilot it in the first aid station, if possible. I've had conversations with them, and they're open to that. It's close enough for have our students walk to. I spoke to Rick about the possibility of surveying our student population to see if there's any interest in this particular program. But I would also like to open it up for students who would like to come from other districts to go here. And I think that's something that would benefit us. There aren't many programs like this out there. I'd like to create one that's different.
And that's the criminal justice one?
That would be the Services/Criminal Justice Academy, yes.
What do you mean services?
Well, there are other services that students might be, like first aid.
And public service.
And yes, public services.
Any other questions? So you're saying that we would set up classrooms at the first aid squad as opposed to
Yes.
Here?
Yes. I don't know if we necessarily have room here as we speak.
Now, if you look at the class sizes and you look at some of the smaller class sizes, how do you determine how many students you need to have a class in high school?
Well, that is
there a minimum or a max? I mean, there's obviously
we have not set any minimum class sizes at all up to this particular point. I think it's the nature of the class. For instance, there's an English 3 class that I see that's being run this year, a class size of 10. Now, that would be a class that I would speak to the director of curriculum as well as the principal to find out exactly why an English 3 class has 10 in it. If it was an AP class, I could understand that because of the nature of the instruction. I truly believe that smaller class sizes do benefit the student and the teachers, but in class sizes such as those that are possibly below 5 or 3, I would think we'd have to question why we have those, and if there's a good answer for that, continue the class.
Yeah, that's all right. That would be my question. If the goal is to offer more to the students, and in the same amount of space we have now, if we're full, don't you have to start looking at some of these classes that don't have enough participation, or is that not?
I would think the question has to be asked why, and if it's a good justification, then. But the Board of Education does have the right through the superintendent to set a minimum class size.
But you don't want to hamstring yourself by doing that, right?
No, but I think if we created a class size like that, and with the stipulation that that can be moved according to the reasoning for the class, as well as a justification by the director of curriculum and principal, you know, it's not going to be a hard, fast number if you did something like that. So, if you wanted to do something like that. And as I see, there are no questions. I guess we're good.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Yeah. I mean, you're going to let us know if there's no space.
Yeah, if there is no space, that might be something that we want to talk about in the future. But that would be at the high school. I'm very happy with the numbers that we have at the elementary school as we speak, and you all saw those as well. Now, moving to one of my favorite pieces of the evening, the policies with options. Everyone has been given a sheet listing the options for the policies. And what I'll do is I'll read off the number of the policy, I'll also read the name of the policy, and then I will read the option that I feel is applicable for that policy. If anybody has any questions about that, I'll gladly answer them. So let's first go to policy 3283, electronic communications between teaching staff members and students. And please understand that all the policies that we'll be reading are mandatory policies. So we have to have them, and there are options. So that first option focuses on the district may select one of the following exemption options. A teaching staff member and student may be exempt from the provisions outlined in this policy if a teaching staff member and student are relatives. It's a pretty long paragraph. Does everybody have the paragraph? Mm-hmm. So I guess I don't have to read it. So if everybody's comfortable after they read it, we can adopt that as part of this mandated policy. The difference between this and the other provision was this asks for a permission, the other one just focuses on notification. I felt the permission piece was important.
Does anyone have any objections to that option?
Okay.
Next.
Moving forward, we have 4283, electronic communication between support staff members and students. Again, this is one that focuses on permission as opposed to just stating the option. I see we're all comfortable with that. We'll move to 5610, suspension. Please notice on the sheet, the option was not selected for this. I did not think it was applicable. 5610, suspension procedures regulation, however, does have an option, which I selected, and it focuses on a special committee of the board, which will include the superintendent of schools, his or her designee, will be appointed by the board president to make a decision on the continuation of the suspension. The committee's decision will be implemented subject to ratification of the committee's decision at the next regular scheduled board meeting. I felt sometimes we have some situations that go to the board level, and you might have a reason to extend the suspension of a student in your mind. So I wanted to give you that option with the selection of this particular option from 5610. Okay? Okay. 48462, reporting potentially missing or abused children. We had to fill in the blank. And I felt the best designee for this particular situation was our supervisor of special education as a district's liaison to designated child welfare authorities, because she deals with them on a constant basis anyway. And I believe that's all the ones that required options. We're now up to finance. Update on a sustainability Jersey for Schools grant?
Yes, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Regarding the district's grant application for the Environmental Defense Fund, or EDF Fellow, I was party to a phone interview about 10 days ago regarding our grant application. During the interview, I was informed that if we were to be awarded the EDF Fellow for the summer, we would hear sometime this week. As of right now, I have not been notified, so if we do hear later in the week, I'll make sure to put that information in the Friday packet to the board. For the 16-17 budget update, our first public budget presentation was held on Monday, April 11th. The public hearing on the budget will be held a week from this evening, 6 p.m., God bless you.
Thank you.
Right here in the High School Media Center. And at the conclusion of the presentation, the board will be asked to vote on the adoption of the final budget, which is reflected in tonight's agenda on page 4, number 13. So that is the resolution that you'll see a week from tonight that we must take action on. Are there any questions on those two? Thank you.
Athletics and co-curricular?
Athletics and co-curricular. Regarding the co-curricular activities, we have our staff would like to reinstitute the fishing club, and with approval by the board, but that will not be at any cost to the board. They did present the athletic director and the principal a list of students who were interested, and there are two staff that also showed interest in developing this particular club. So that is a club that falls outside of Schedule C, but it's one that we have had before, and we're going to reinstitute it with the board's approval. There are also two other clubs that I'm bringing to your attention this evening. One is the volleyball club, the other is the sailing club. And as you recall, We did have a survey that went out to the students, and they were given three choices: volleyball, sailing, and equestrian, of which the volleyball and the sailing came back with the highest percentages of interest from the student body. So I'm requesting that we start those in September, and we start them through our club format, whereby they have to show 3 years of sustainability. The cost for these clubs is on the backs of the parents, except for the particular person who we choose as the advisor of these clubs. That would be a cost to the board. And I would ask those clubs to come and present what the exact format of those clubs would be to the Board of Education at one of the Committee of a Whole meeting, either in June or July or August. But we did get interest from those, and I do know we're having volleyball this summer through a recreation coordination. Basketball tournament. Everybody received this in the Friday update, I believe, and it was an invitation to the Manasquan girls basketball team to go to a very prestigious tournament at the ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex in December of 2016. I support this endeavor. I think they deserve to be there. I think they'll do well. The parents are going to be raising the money for this tournament, and it will be during the time that we have off. Are there any questions? I'm now going to move to buildings and grounds. Update on water testing.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
The district conducted water testing in the month of March for lead, and the testing was performed by CQI Water Treatment in Oakhurst, New Jersey. All results at all locations tested are as follows. The level was not detected above the minimum detection level, which is less than 15 parts per billion. So our water testing came out fine. Just wanted to pass that along to the board and the public.
That's the end of our committee of a whole. My perception.
Yes. You will obviously have a superintendent's report next week.
Yes, I will.
We are now to the first public forum on agenda items. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allowed a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes in duration. Individuals wishing to address the board should be recognized by the presiding officer, and she'll give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by an individual, not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portions of this meeting, the board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion or disciplining of, any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items included in this agenda only, please. Would anyone from the public like to be heard? Seeing no one, I would ask everyone to take a look at the Manasquan General Items, number 12 through 33. If anyone has any questions on any of these items or needs any of them further explained, now would be a good time to mention them. Let me know when you've completed your review. Everybody? Good? Mr. Warren? Good. Ms. Pisson? We're all good? And moving on to the Senate District items, does anyone have any question on the agenda through number 40? Okay. We are now to old and new business. Anyone have any old business that they want to discuss? Any new business that they want to discuss? We are to our second public forum on any items, agenda or otherwise. Would anybody from the public like to be heard? Seeing no one. Executive session. Whereas the Senator Byron M. Barrow Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, the Act provides the Manasquan Board of Education may hold an executive session from which the public is excluded to discuss matters that are confidential or are one of the nine subject matters listed in Section 12B of the Act. And whereas it is recommended by the superintendent, the Manasquan Board of Education go into executive session on this date in Manasquan, New Jersey, to discuss matters that are permissible for discussion in executive session. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 60 minutes, after which the public meeting of the board shall reconvene and proceed with business. And whereas the board hereby declares that its discussion of the following subjects will be made public at a time when the public's interest in disclosure is greater than any privacy or governmental interest being protected from disclosure. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Manasquan Board of Education, the board shall go into executive session to discuss the following items. Number four, collective bargaining, which will be an MAAA, negotiations update. And number eight, in relation to personnel matters, hiring, leave of absence, staffing for the 16-17 school year, renewals and non-renewals, SBA contract for 16-17 school year, and increment withholding. Items discussed in executive session may result in board action when the board reconvenes the public session. That will not be the case tonight. There will be no action taken. Do we have a motion to go to public executive session? Mr. Serino, second. Mr. Fury, all those in favor?